Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 48 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Homecoming.
This episode was written by Kazuhiko Soma, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Vector Prime sacrificed himself to ensure this series could eke out four or five more episodes. And in this episode, Optimus Prime is expositing that the Autobots are going to split into two groups and hunt down Galvatron.
Yep, and Optimus' ship heads for Cybertron, doesn't say where the other guys are going yet. And when they get there, it Joe's Primus like all banged up and smashed, and Scattershot's like, well, everything looks fine, but as they get closer, they realize, no, everything is not fine. He's in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, Scattershot insists that he's all out of energy and like unconscious or whatever, and then Optimus is like, oh, hey, Primus, and he's like, oh, hey, what's up? So I guess he's not out of energy, but he takes some time to talk about how Vector Prime will live on, blah, 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 and then tells Optimus to go fight Galvatron, which is what he was doing.
Yep, and with Galvatron, wherever this is, I guess it's inside the black hole, maybe. It certainly looks that way later. But Galvatron's going on about all the power he has now that he has the Omega Lock and the keys, and he sends out tendrils of dark energies, he calls them, to bring him his first trophy.
Which I guess are gonna be the planets, maybe? That doesn't make sense, and it's pointless to think about, especially more so because now we're going to waste some time with Secret Agent Man and Dumb Dumb.
Yeah, we go to Earth where meteors are starting to fall, and these two are watching the screen, and he tells Optimus that nothing really serious has happened yet, just, you know, literally the sky is falling on us here, but the same kind of thing is happening on Velocitron, and Override's like, oh, I need to get there to help. I don't know what she's going to do, but she feels like she needs to get there, and Optimus says they have to help everybody, so he's sending Evac and Jetfire to Earth.
Yeah, there's a quick shot with the kids being worried, and then the Minicons show up, and they're like, hey, just don't worry, because why bother worrying? Okay, what are you going to smoke a bowl?
Like you taught us.
Yeah. But then we go to Evac and Jetfire. So they're going off to save the humans, like you said, but they're going to get all the civilian Autobots to help. And then
get that streetlight doing something useful.
Yeah. Then we go to a shot on Velocitron with like the highways and freeways all ripping up. And there's a bit where
it's
like
just chaos.
Oh, it is. But there's a bit where one of them rips up and then all these speedy, whatever they are, Transformers Autobots, I don't know what they're designated nation is, but they all go flying off the edge of the bridge like whoa, 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 and I laughed.
And Override heads off to go help with that again, however she's gonna do it. But then Scattershot gets Jungle Planet on the screen, and it's surrounded by those dark tentacles we saw before with Galvatron, so I guess this is his first prize, and because he's pulling it through a space bridge.
Yes, and on the surface we see the Beasticon of bots or whatever. I don't know if these guys are Autobots or Decepticons or what they are, but we see them all trying to flee the destruction of the planet, and I think it's Not Swoop save somebody from falling in lava, and then Not Rhinox save somebody else, and it's just, I mean, cutaway action shots. But this is where the Autobots see it getting pulled into the space bridge, and then it's gone, and then it comes out of the space bridge by Primus and starts getting sucked into the black hole.
Well, yeah, it's kind of neat because it's on one screen, it's getting pulled into the black hole on the right side of that screen, and then on the very next screen over, it starts coming out of a space bridge that's somewhere else. It doesn't make that very clear at first, though.
No.
But yeah, it's getting pulled out and into the black hole, and also this other space bridge is directly behind Primus. If that's the black hole, like, how did they not detect this thing opening?
How did they not a lot of things in this series? Sorry, how did they not everything in this series? But we cut away to the Decepticons, and they were talking about how they're glad they sided with Galvatron because he's so big and tough, and then they smack talk each other. And then it looked like Metroplex was there, but he might have just been watching on a TV screen.
Yeah, and then Optimus has Scattershot, quote, engage the magnetic bridge, and Primus powers up, even though he was out of power, the thing on his chest, and blasts a beam to Jungle Planet, which is right there, which hits the stairs of the temple, thinking of where Scourge told everyone to run to, more or less parallel to the surface, which forms an invisible Hot Wheels track for the residents of Jungle Planet to escape to safety, and Scourge tells Snarl, you know, keep watch over them, because I'm not coming, and oh, here we go again.
Yeah, Leo Breaker won't listen to that. And I think we have a commercial break in here, but when we come back, Scourge's reason this time is that he wants, I think, to die with his planet.
Well, yeah, he does the old captain goes down with the ship bit, which, dear listener, that expression just means that the captain has to save everybody on the ship or die trying. He has to be the last one off the boat. If everyone is safe, he can leave too, right? Like, that's all that expression means. It doesn't mean he has to die with the thing.
Yeah, that's a great way for a Navy to go through way too many captains.
Yeah.
But Scourge and Snarl, they argue about Scourge being selfish again. They fight. And then they fight more, and instead of leaving, they fight more. And I think Snarl basically calls him out on, hey, you're being a coward again. Just acknowledge that either you're scared, or you want revenge, or you need to ask for help. I'm not sure which it is.
Yeah, I just said down they argue some more. But yeah, Scourge finally admits he was wrong, and he does need everyone's help because Galvatron must be destroyed, and we're going to show him how we do things on this here planet, so who's with me? And then Not Rhinox comes up and says Scourge has finally learned what he was trying to teach him, and I just wanted Scourge to pick him up and crumple him into a ball like a sheet of paper and toss him aside without even acknowledging that he did it. I do not like that character.
Not only do I not like that character, I can't stand when the teacher, the master character, shows up at the end is like, you have finally learned the final lesson.
Yeah.
You are now ready to be master. Excuse me while I go flush my head down a toilet. So yeah, Scourge gives a big speech about how they're gonna something fight Galvatron. And then I don't know if this came from Primus or what, but he gets covered in a big yellow light. And then the four other leaders, or planetary leaders, do too in a split screen, I think.
Yeah, it just shows Optimus and Metroplex, Override, and Evac for some reason. So I get, is he representing Earth here?
Because when
he
so
uses his cyber key, it has like the blue Earth thing, so. Maybe he's the leader of Earth?
Yeah, I mean, Optimus isn't the leader of Earth, and they needed one. And I know Evac and Smokescreen had been around there for however many years fighting the monster things that became trans. Oh, man, this show at this point is kind of getting into Energon levels of silliness. But
yeah,
so they all leave. Oh, and just now, Leo Breaker shows up because I think I mentioned his name earlier, but he took one of the ships, the Atlantis or Kijiji, I don't know which one, and he shows up with the ship, and they load all of the Beast Econobots up on the ship, and then, for reasons, it just disappears and stops existing there, and Snarl, Not Rhinox, and Scourge are stuck on the planet.
Yeah, Scourge is like, oh, what's this? Is exactly what I thought would happen once we got to the place I wanted to get to make our stand at this temple actually happening? Like, but yeah, it's not the end of the world. Snarl says it feels like they're being lifted up by something, because everything's shaking, right? So they think, you know, the planet's going to be destroyed. But things keep shaking and mountains crumble, but when the smoke clears, it turns out the temple was the fourth starship the whole time, which I put down backpack because I'm not calling backstop, backsplash. I've just been coming up with back and some stupid name. He calls it the Hyperborea.
Which I guess is the ship that brought all the Beast Econobots to Jungle Planet. Who's piloting it? Doesn't matter. Then we go to Secret Agent Man, and he tells Jetfire and Evac that Earth damage is getting out of hand, even though it was fine the last time they talked, even though we had seen like oceans getting sucked up into the clouds a la Star Trek 4. But Jetfire then, just now, calls the civilian Autobots to help.
Yes, it's what Optimus told him to do before. But instead of getting the payphone and the streetlight and the trash can doing something useful, it goes to Smokescreen and Mudflap, and no, it's good to do something useful, no.
Yeah, they help a bunch of people get off of one roof in a city. This is like the dumbest, slowest evacuation plan I've ever seen in my life. Like, the planet is going to collapse and fall into a black hole. Where are these people evacuating to? These two, Jetfire and Evac, don't have one of the spaceships with them.
But yeah, they get them down from a balcony, and I guess that's that. Billions of people are now safe from the disasters being caused by the black hole, so I guess they're safe for now. But Evac points out they're only safe until the black hole destroys the entire planet, and Colonel Franklin reminds them they, you know, need to get those cyber planet keys back before that happens.
Yeah, he says, hey, we'll take it from here. We'll save the rest of the humans. Which is what he had been doing before they showed up. So why did he need their help? And then you guys go and regain the cyber planet key, which is what they had been doing before they came here for this useless task. This episode is getting into not just Energon silliness, but pointlessness. But let's go back to Galvatron and the Decepticons. They arrive at Primus and they land, and Optimus is like already outside waiting for them. exactly where they land.
Yeah, and Galvatron wants to take his time destroying them after all the shit they put him through, and Optimus and Wingding combine and start with their shoulder Gatling guns, but Galvatron blocks it with some kind of energy shield, and Crumplezone says that Optimus and Wingding, their sonic burger mode is useless against Galvatron.
Yeah, the rest of the Decepticons are kind of off to the side talking smack about Optimus and Wingding, and then the rest of the Autobots show up, or like the ones who are on the Kijiji or whatever ship it was, and they all engage in battle.
Yeah, and now everybody from every planet is on the way here now. Even that stupid rhyming motorcycle is here, and Jetfire it's like, hey, what's that guy doing here? But he goes on with some ridiculous stoner hippie greaser babble, but he's here to help. And so are all
we just want to be free, man. We're not like Autobots yes. or Decepticons. We just want to be free. Can you jive with that turkey or whatever?
And
it's
all
dumb.
The monster Decepticons that, you know, were imprisoned on Earth, they're here too. So I guess Evac and Smokescreen busted them back out. But now back on Primus in the battle I wish I could have seen instead of listening to that idiot talk is over. And it's like all the Autobots are just lying in a heap. It's like smoke coming off them and it's blindfold and cigarette time.
Yeah, Galvatron's got his gun ready to shoot. And then he, instead of just shooting Optimus, he monologues about stuff until the quote army of Jungle Planet shows up led by Scourge, and then all of Velocitron's forces, which was about 9 I think I saw on the space bridge,
yeah,
and all the Autobots from Earth and all the Autobots or Transformers or whatever from Gigantion show up. And it's kind of a neat scene when all of these Transformers just start pouring out of a space bridge. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, they're just everywhere all around them, and Galvatron just kind of looks at them and retreats without saying a word.
Yeah, even though they referred to him as invincible earlier, he's just, whoop, gone. Despite having all the power of the universe or whatever, being able to move planets with his will, he flies away and the Decepticons follow him.
Yep, they're all flying on Thundercracker's back again. Like, that's he's their vehicle, I guess. Remember we said that back in Beast Wars where Rhinox is their vehicle, where we showed them all sitting on his back. But yeah, everyone is finally there and Optimus starts to say something, but then Primus uses his power to merge the 4 starships into one even larger ship, which he calls the Ark.
Oh, original name. Actually, I don't know why I was so picky about that and so catty. It's like, yeah, it makes sense. It's nice to see the Ark. It doesn't look like the Ark we've known, but whatever. It's the Ark, and it's the size of 4 cities. But then Optimus has a dumb speech about how we're all united and together we'll all succeed.
Jungle Planet is about to be swallowed by the black hole, but Primus is going to save its people before that happens. He could have just teleported them to safety or opened a space bridge, and we wouldn't have even questioned it. It's magic. There's no rules. But that wasn't stupid enough. Instead, he creates an invisible Hot Wheels track to build a bridge between 2 planets, and we'll get back to that. And it lands more or less level with the ground, so for the sake of example, we'll say it's tangent to the planet. Now, if you were to run along such a surface, the planet would get farther away below you, sure, but the downward force of a planet's gravity on a given an object is perpendicular to a line tangent to the planet's surface, and sure, the magnitude of that force will lessen as you get farther away, but the farther you go along this line, the more uphill it's going to feel like. And never mind the distance between the planets, think about the distance you need to go just to get off this planet. If you run along a surface tangent to a planet for the length of the planet's radius, you will only actually get a square root or 2 minus 1 multiplied by the radius of the planet away from the planet. It's simple. Pythagoras figured it out thousands of years ago, and sure, some of them can fly, but most of these guys transform into dinosaurs or other beast forms. They don't drive. You're going to make them run the distance between 2 planets up an increasingly steep hill the whole way until...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. We just watched Homecoming. Paul, what was festive about this episode?
Well, it really sets the stage for a finale, that is for sure. But again, it skipped right over the fight I would rather have watched instead of listening to Scourge and Snarl argue for far too long before they fought for... far not long enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Scourge and Snarl fight was okay. I don't think we mentioned it in the review, but there was a moment where Snarl punched Scourge right in the gut after their, you know, short fight. It was an okay fight. And I did like all the Autobots pouring out of the space bridge. Cool visual. But yeah, not much more. I think you said it best. It has set the stage.
It set the stage. And the one other positive thing, we mentioned this one before, it had just enough of the kids, which I think hardly any in this one.
Yeah, they're barely there. In fact, I think it had more of Secret Agent Man and Dum Dum than it had of the kids.
But even they were kept to a dull roar, which which I'm thankful for.
That much they were. The next dull review we're going to do is called End, even though it's not the end of this series. But if you want to talk to us about the end of the series, you can email this show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. No, it's good to do something useful, no.